Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This past week has been awful. I'm not talking about my own personal life, although between family illnesses, you'll notice Sarah and the kids aren't here again today. That's been rough enough. I have been sick and tired this past week of sin and evil and brokenness, pain, suffering, tragedy, loss. Locally, I read recently that by the end of the year, there will be a round of layoffs at Boeing. That 700 of our local families will find themselves without a breadwinner. On the other side of the country, I know, Pastor, don't get political. I've been disgusted with this whole gun policy fiasco. When you could have 90% of a nation saying, please do this, and our leaders still say, meh, meh, you elected us to what again? Lead? No, thank you. In the town of West Texas, a fertilizer plant exploded this week, leveling a city. Did you hear about this? 36 or more killed, hundreds wounded, homeless. That would be bad enough, except I also read that apparently this plant, this is great, this plant had 1,300 times the amount of ammonium nitrate that you are legally allowed to have on site before you need to report to the Department of Homeland Security. 1,300 times. So this wasn't just negligence. This was evil. And of course, the big news, because why should any of that be the worst thing? Boston. The marathon. Where a finish line of joy and triumph turns into chaos and mourning and darkness and despair and pain and injury and mutilation. And the manhunt that followed, I couldn't turn away from it. I actually was online much of the last several days watching it unfold. I was on a website where someone was listening to a Boston police scanner and posting updates. I'm the father of two beautiful, bright, spirited, and sweet little boys. And at times, I wonder, how do I protect you from this world? How do I shield you from sin and despair and evil? And I want to apologize to them at times. I want to apologize for the chaos that they will enter into. Say, I'm sorry. I'm honestly and sincerely sorry that the adults of the world cannot do better for you. I'm sorry. A translation of the 23rd Psalm that I read to you a little bit ago was not the one most of you are familiar with. Most of you are more familiar with the King James Version or something similar, where you You talk about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will dwell in the house of the Lord always, forever. And because of this, most frequently we hear that psalm used at funerals. Words of comfort for the bereaved, which is good. There is nothing wrong with using this psalm at that time. And I'm not trying to take away from that. But, if we go back to the Hebrew in which this psalm was written, and we look at how it would be translated into modern English, the version I read to you is arguably more accurate. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. It's a subtle difference. Darkest valley versus shadow of death. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever versus all my days. It's a subtle difference, but it speaks to God's presence with us in life. The 23rd Psalm is not just a psalm of comfort and healing at a point of mourning, the point of loss, at a point of grieving. It is also a psalm of comfort in life for the living, for those of us who go through day after day wondering how and why things like this can happen. One of my favorite quotes that has come out this past week, it's actually an old quote, and it's from a man of great intellect and impact in our nation, Mr. Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers. I miss Mr. Rogers. I need to introduce Tavin to him at some point. Some of you may know that Fred Rogers, I don't remember now if he ever actually served a parish, but he went through seminary, Presbyterian Church. I like to think that's part of why he was such a gentle and good man. Then I look at myself and say, no, that's definitely not where that came from. He was just a good guy. Look for the helpers, is what he said. He was quoting something his mother had said to him when he was a child and when bad things would happen. Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. In the face of any tragedy, any loss, any chaos, you will find them if you look. And he's right. His mother was right. I think about the photographs after Boston of people going to aid strangers. Strangers lying in pools of blood on the ground with limbs gone. People doing CPR, applying tourniquets. Wheeling strangers to ambulances. Going to donate blood. There were marathon runners who had finished the marathon and then afterwards ran to the nearest hospital to donate blood. There's something oddly beautiful in that. Look for the helpers. There's 7 billion people on this planet. 7 billion or more. There's more right now than when I just said that. And not all will serve good. Not all will serve God. And yet most do. And when people ask, where is God in times like that, my answer is there. That is where God is. God is with those who went to comfort the dying, the mutilated. God is with those first responders who went to the plant in Texas to try and prevent the catastrophe that happened. and the one seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Our Revelation reading today. In the end, love wins. In the end, peace wins. In the end, God wins. It does not undo the violence. It does not take away the pain. It does not quell the hatred, the fear. It does not bring the dead to life or restore a lost limb. But it does remind us that we are not alone. That the forces of evil do not win, are not powerful. That God is still here. And speaking as the father of those two boys, knowing that God's strength, knowing God's love, knowing God's compassion gives me hope. It gives me hope for my children and for the world they will inherit. Amen. If you'd please join me in reciting the 23rd Psalm, whatever version you have in front of you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.